Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. With me, as always, is Alex. And Alex, it's been a bad day, man. It's been a real bad day for me.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And why is it a bad day for you, Angelo?
Man, I woke up with a headache. I've had a headache all day. My shoulder feels like tweaked. Like it's all bad. It's all bad here, man.
It's all bad. Plus, on the show, you know that it's really all that bad when you actually lose, like, the picks on a given week. To me,
that's
when you know.
That's only happened, like, this might be the second time it's ever happened to me, so I don't know how that feels.
Hey,
how does
this
it feel,
year,
Alex, to lose every week since you're more accustomed to that feeling?
This
no,
year,
guide me,
it's...
Guide me through my own emotions.
This year, it's most definitely the first time that it happens. So this is my first ever dub over you, so I'm only 10 games down now. Because I only won this one by one. So, terrible week in terms of betting for us on the Lions. I went with a very solid 6-8. You went with a very solid 5-9. So both below 500. But yeah, this just worsens your mood even a bit more. Because not only have you had a headache every week.
Sucks.
All week. Then you also lose me here. Then you're also the just proven wrong on your whole, like, Joe Flacco argument. That he's the best quarterback anywhere, really. Because apparently he's just, like, the worst QB ever. Colts fans are now turning on their team, so great job to the Colts head coach, to the Colts organization, just in general. Good job there. But at least I was gonna say that at least your team won, and then I remembered that you guys lost by that one point as well. So it's not
gonna
going
lie.
Great.
Sunday rolled around, and I'm like, who do the Bengals play this? Oh, wait.
And then you cry.
Yeah, and then I cried.
You curved up into a ball and then just cried. Hey, but we're back to another show. We're back for some more picks here. This one will be the picks show, right? And then we're recording one tomorrow. When does the second show come out? Because I'm guessing this one comes out on Thursday. Do we have basketball this week?
In theory.
Okay. So, in theory.
It'll be Saturday.
Okay.
Actually, you know, to back. Let's go Friday and Saturday. I know I've been, like, tweaking with the recording schedule and times, but I really do just want to see if things work. Because so far, based on the metrics, the best results seem to be Tuesday and Thursday. But you know what? Fuck it. YOLO, you know?
But this one needs to come out on Thursday.
Yeah, that's fair.
So Thursday and Saturday right now.
Yeah, Thursday and Saturday right now.
Yeah. We'll eventually, one day, go back to Tuesdays and Thursdays, because that does feel like the best outcome, because you get like one show right away after the weekends, then you get one just when the week starts. So that's like optimal. But unfortunately, our schedules are kind of shitty for that. But we'll see. Yeah, maybe next week we can actually do something similar, at least to have one on Tuesday. that might actually happen. Because you should have the week, the day off on Monday, right?
No.
Okay.
My schedule is all janked up.
Yeah, great. So, yeah, scratch that. Maybe one day in the future we'll have that back. Now you just have to make do.
Talk to me in January.
So, yeah. Good luck, guys. You just, hey, you know how the best way to avoid all of this is and know when exactly the show comes out? Do you know, Angelo?
You put notifications on, Alex.
Yeah. And you turn on what? The audience knows by now. You turn on the auto downloads. That's simple as. Turn on the auto downloads. You'll get the show immediately as it comes out. Bang. Easy. Doesn't take even a second to do that. So do that. No worries when this comes out. Just straight into your library. Easy enough, right?
Yeah, sounds easy enough.
See? That's what the audience needs to be doing. Okay, but we're here to actually talk some football, right?
That's the game plan.
That's the game plan. We have a few exciting games. We have a few kind of shitty games. And we have four teams on bye. So this week, we're a bit short-handed on games. It actually says that we might only have 13, because it says that 13 picks remaining. But that doesn't feel right. That feels like it should say 14 picks remaining. So maybe the app is just tightening up, because I can clearly see that there's like an even amount of games here. And if I like just sum this up fairly quickly, it says that so that's six. That's another six. Yeah, it's 14 here. Then it says 13 picks remaining. The app is great. Really good work. But we move. And do you want to just jump straight into the picks? Do you want to talk a bit about the week, or do we just leave all of the things regarding straight week 10?
And then let's see how much time we have left to talk about, like, things
yeah.
that happened.
We'll have probably...
If you want to rant about the Cowboys and the Colts, you can, buddy.
All the rants are going to be big, so tune in for the next show, because I can't...
Oh, you're going to save the rants for the next
show? Oh, I mean, we have to... We have to build the momentum for the next show, so stay tuned for that if you want the rants, because those are going to take a while, so I'll just let you know off the hook. Tune in for the next show if you want the rants.
There he is.
We'll talk about the dumbass teams. The dumbasses are back.
The dumbasses are back.
Okay, so first pick. Let's jump straight in. First, small little recap, as I said. Last week, not the best for both of us. I went 6-8. Angelo went 5-9. So not the best. In terms of the mineral picks, Angelo went 1-2. So he got the bronze pick correct. The other two were incorrect. I went 1-2 as well. So the gold pick was correct. The bronze and silver was incorrect. And as for the overall records on the mineral picks, Angelo right now is sitting at 6-4 for the bronze. So good stuff there. Is sitting at 4-6 for the silver. Not the best, but also fairly good. Like, it's only a bit below the 500. And 5-5 for the gold. I'm also 5-5 for the gold, but I am 4-6 in both the bronze and the silver. So I lost a bit of ground there, but we're making it up. And it's just going to start with week 11, because I'm feeling hyped up. I mean, I got my first win off the books. That's it. That's done. Now I'm just going to win every single week until the end.
Man, I didn't think.
Yeah, it's off the bucket list, and now it's just like it's getting week 11 to week 17. Those will all be wins. Week 18 even. Those will all be wins. So I'm just letting you know off the end, just so you know, going to be easy enough there getting the dubs. So be ready, because I'm coming, Angela. I'm only 10 games down.
You're only 10.
We have, 8 weeks left for me to make the picks? So here we go. So
hey,
I guess
man,
we'll start.
If you get one a week, you're still going to lose. That's not going to lie.
Hey, it's very much likely that I lose this. But I need to keep the momentum going. It started with the first brick was from last week, getting the dub. And now we're just getting started, man. And it starts with Thursday Night Football, because I have a feeling about this game. We're on a run as well. we're 1-0 in the last one on Thursday Night Football.
In the last one. You're cherry picking fucking stats.
This is our run start. Like, right? You need to get a win to start the run. That was my win. Now we're on a run. This is just what's going to happen. I'm speaking it into existence. And starts with a very good game. Actually, very good game. Yeah, what?
You're taking my idea of speaking things into existence. Let's go.
Hey, we need to make it happen. So it starts with Washington. The Washington Commanders go at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Washington Commanders are 3.5-point underdogs going to the Eagles. It's not often that you get the better team getting points, but this is exactly what you're getting here in Washington. 3.5, this feels like a good number for you to take here. So I'm just going to go with Washington plus 3.5. Like, the Eagles are that weird team in which they're playing okay to good football. I'll acknowledge at least that. But it feels like, much like the Washington Commanders, they never really put teams away. I mean, they managed to put down the Dallas Cowboys, but it's like there's probably a notion or two in terms of, like, talent and quality between the current Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Commanders. So, like, they're not even in the same galaxy at this point. So let's just throw that away. And, like, even if against a team like the Jags, for example, who are, again, galaxies away from the Washington Commanders, the Eagles never managed to put them away. So, like, at 3.5 points, I kind of like the Commanders here. I know they come off of a loss, but that team still inspires me a lot of confidence. So I'm going to go with the Commanders, plus 3.5.
So, you made a lot of interesting points against the Eagles, but let me ask you this question. What happened when the Eagles faced the Bengals, my Bengals?
Well, there's also a notion of quality between the Bengals.
Oh, stop this.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Blasphemy.
One team.
Blasphemy, the best quarterback in the NFL that's playing right now.
Great. The best quarterback in the NFL currently sits at, what, 4-6?
Listen, man.
Hey.
Joe's been playing his fucking ass off for that.
Yes, but you know who also has been playing his ass off? Jaden Daniels. And his team is 7-3. And they're 7-2-1 ATS. So, I mean, I feel like the pick is very clearly the Commanders here. But I'm guessing that you're going the opposite, because you still believe in the Alex curse that is not going to happen anymore.
Oh, fuck yeah. Give me the Eagles. And in fact, your spoiler alert, that's my gold.
That's the gold.
I mean, that's the gold.
I'm putting it on the board right now.
Just making sure you knew.
I mean.
So it looks like we have the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love going into Chicago to face the Austin named bust Caleb Williams. They are favored by 6.5 points. So I think the betting odds kind of agree with Austin too, that Caleb Williams is a bust. So give me the Packers, man. I think the easy pick is to go with Chicago because they can't keep playing this bad. But, you know, it's the Bears. So when in doubt, the Bears can always suck. So, yeah.
I am going to go against you. They have an UFC right now. They fired the fraud that is Shane Waldron. I mean, you just need to listen to the show to know who are actually, like, good coaches. I mean, I told you from the get-go. He's a shit coach, so he got canned. That was a fairly easy assessment. The thing was that yesterday, like, Schefter went on to Pat McAfee, and he heavily hinted that one of the changes possible was benching Caleb for Tyson Madgen, which I kind of just, like...
What's that? Repeat that statement.
Schefter, I don't think that he said it, but I believe that he hinted that the Bears were looking to make changes on offense, and it was going to be probably the OC, which happened, or a benching of Caleb Williams for Tyson Bagent.
Man, this would be a really bad year for you, Alex, if both Anthony Richardson and Caleb Williams got benched in the same year.
I mean, if I'm a rookie QB coming out, if the Bears would do this, which I don't think they will, because I still think that there's like, although they do have a few dumb fucks in that team, I still think that just overall, it's fairly simple to assess that you need to give like the number one overall rookie a bit of time, even if he is the number one overall. But if they were to do that, if I'm a rookie QB coming out, I'm just going to say I'm never playing for the Bears. It's like they can be the best team ever.
Oh, so now with Justin again with Justin Fields, it's this. Oh, you know, it's Justin. He's just not a good quarterback, man. He sucks. Now that Caleb Williams is there, it's the offensive line. Now the coaching is a problem, even though it's the same fucking coach Justin Fields has. Now it's the Bears are an incompetent organization.
Okay. Hey, I'll just take a few points out of my guy, the treat, out of Reddit, commenting on a Bears post about what was wrong with the Bears. And he said things along the lines of, for example, our line is a complete mess. Our wide receivers are loafing routes.
Both were upgraded from Justin Fields.
Hey, but apparently DJ Moore now decided that he doesn't want to play wide receiver because according to this user as well, I mean, I'm seeing this on the field, but it's just like there's other people seeing the same exact things as I'm seeing. And it's like DJ Moore right now appears that he got the bag and just this week he stopped on a crossing route, killed the drive immediately from Caleb because the pass was just not in his vicinity because he stopped running the fucking route. So like, I feel like trading a third-round pick for a washed-up Keenan Allen is probably not the best call that you can make. I feel like their best wide receiver right now, ironically, is Roma Dunze. And the thing that you know, that this is actually a coaching staff issue, is that you have QBs that are actually much worse than Caleb. For example, Bryce Young with the Panthers, who did get benched, and Wes looked much worse than Caleb in the starts that he had, and Mac Jones with the Jags, who was in the team, and is, for all intents and purposes, been a guy that was drafted, not as high as Caleb, but was drafted in the first round, inside the top 15, and did get benched, and it's like those two guys, for example, if you go and watch the Jags game and the Carolina Panthers game, you could see that in the scripted drives. So the first, I don't know, 10 to 15 to 20 maybe plays that you have in the game, you look at those plays on offense, and the offense could move the football. I mean, heck, in the Jags, they have what? After that drive, they have maybe like 50 yards of offense after that drive in which like the offense actually looked good. So like in the scripted plays, those teams that are bad teams, bad QBs, they managed to execute, and they managed to get yards. They managed to get points on the board. You look at the Bears. I mean, the first 15 picks, the first 15 plays are probably even worse than the last plays that you're just calling on the huddle. So it's like the preparation also isn't there. And this comes with coaching. I mean, the preparation doesn't come with anything else. Like, you need to have the guys in place that script the plays, that call the plays, to actually manage to script them before the game starts and not just dick around and do nothing for the entire week, which seems like it's what Eberflus is doing right now.
Feel the hate.
Hey, I did say that Eberflus should have been fired. I did say that Shane Waldron was an absolute awful hiring after watching him for 2 or 3 years in Seattle. The writing was on the wall there. Now, I expected Caleb to have the talent to surpass that. But, I mean, at the same time, it's also like playing without... And you made the same argument in our group chat that the O-line was perfectly average. I said that the O-line was perfectly average with Justin Fields there. But, I mean, they're missing the two starting tackles right now. They're missing the backup tackle right now. It's fairly hard to just try and do anything without those pieces. Now, I think that, and I've gotten this argument quite a bit, which is like, there's not a lot of teams in the NFL or maybe any that have a good O-line right now. But the thing is, I feel like there's a difference between a good O-line, a bad O-line, and an O-line that allows around, 7 to 8 sacks to the New England Patriots. That's like awful type of O-line. That's not bad or good. That's just dumpster. type of O-line. So, hey, maybe the OC change gives them a bit of a boost. That's what I'm hoping here. 6.5, like, the Bears still have a very good defense. I just need them to actually score points, because if I'm not mistaken, like, they have, 12 points in the last two games combined? I don't think they've scored a touchdown. So, I kind of need points here.
That's your much better than Justin Fields. I hate to break it to you, Alex, but Justin Fields could get you the same results that the Bears have gotten the last 2 weeks.
Right now, I'm only accepting comparisons to guys who are actually starting in the NFL. So, yeah, Fields is kind of like a guy that we don't actually need to talk about, because he's been benched, and well benched. Like, it's funny that people right now have forgotten about Justin and how great of a QB he is. But yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers are finally scoring points. I wish I could see, like, Fields in that situation versus Washington, because I think that game is the one that gets super ugly for Fields. But Russ, I mean, Russ is Russ, right? Russ is playing well. And the Justin Fields nonsense has stopped. So I'm glad about that. So all of this to say, Bears plus 6.5. I'm hoping the offense has changed somewhat. That's all I need. Okay. I feel like this is the biggest line of the year right now. Jacksonville Jaguars at the Detroit Lions. The Lions are 13.5-point favorites versus the Jags. The Jags are probably going to be starting Mac Jones again, because Trevor Lawrence seems like this could be like a season type of thing. So that could be the last snap that Lawrence has played. Was on week 9. So that's a possibility. I don't know. I don't think like there's a number until you reach like the 17s. I don't think I would ever take Jacksonville. Even though Detroit like looked rough to start that game versus the Houston Texans, I believe they're the first team that has a QB throw for like 5 interceptions and be down by over 20 points at the half and win the game. So like this team just has a lot of resilience.
Yeah, that was an ugly game, by the way.
It was
7 interceptions in that game or something.
Yeah, I think it was like 7 or 8 even. And it was something along those lines. I think Stroud threw 2, and then Goff threw 5. So, but hey, I mean, this team has a lot of guts. Like, this team is built like their head coach. They're built with guts. They're built with resilience. They are never giving up on a game. This Lions team is showing me a lot right now, and I'm just going to back them. I mean, 13.5 seems a lot, but I feel like the line should be even bigger.
I'm gonna let the Jaguars hurt me.
You have a thing with AFC South teams. So you have the thing with like the Colts, led Flaccos, with the Jags, with the Tennessee Titans, who hurt you once again, versus your former child, the Chargers. So if you need help, let me know, Angel.
This guy.
This feels like an abusive relationship right now.
This feels like an abusive
relationship. It's just you and the AFC South. Because it's like, it's the Texans, it's the Jags, it's the Colts, it's the Titans. Like, every team in the South you just seem to love.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, we'll have to work that out in therapy. But on to the next one. Las Vegas Raiders are going into the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins are favored by 7.5 points. And I'm not going to lie, Miami has looked rough. The 7.5 is very tempting. But I think I'm going to have to go with Miami there.
I feel like I'm right there with you. This is a get-right game for Miami. Even though Las Vegas is coming off of a bye, if not mistaken. I feel like this is a spot for Miami. I feel like this is a spot in which they click. I mean, the Raiders haven't done really anything on offense. I feel like I can only really trust the Raiders.
Does anyone even have in fantasy?
Oh, Jesus Brock Christ. Bowers. Outside of Bowers, yeah.
Bowers.
Yeah. Yeah, like, if you're in a deep league, maybe Madison. But with Zamir White back, I think it took some more work back when they last played on Week 9. So maybe not even that. But yeah, outside of Brock Bowers, maybe Jacoby Myers at times. But that's about it, yeah. Like, the Miami Dolphins, like, they didn't play a perfect game versus the Rams or anything, like, close to that. But I still think, like, this is the type of game in which Las Vegas just gets railroaded. I feel like it's a game versus, for example, the Ravens, which they didn't manage to close, but they were just boat racing them. And the Raiders, like, looked lost there for a minute. I don't think that Miami would let the game get close in that situation because they do run the ball quite well and they do, like, milk the clock quite a bit when needed. So I feel like this is a game in which Miami finally looks like Miami. And the Raiders just get blown out. I feel like this is a game in which you could take, like, the Miami Dolphins, like, by 13.5 and probably still cash. So give me Miami -7.5. Okay, next up, it's the Los Angeles Rams at the New England Patriots. The Patriots are 4.5-point underdogs in this game. Weird game. I feel like the line, if this line was prior to last week, like if this line was out, we were talking about this game prior to Week 10 happening, like this is for sure a touchdown game to the Patriots, right? Like they're 7.5-point underdogs here. But the win, the Rams looking rough-ish versus the Dolphins yesterday.
Great, I feel like this is all... Up last
yeah.
Week.
Because the Patriots are probably like the best, worst team right now out of this bunch. If we're not counting like Miami as a bad team and are just saying that their record is because of the Tua thing. But I do feel like they are probably the best, worst team in the league right now. And I feel like they're just getting better. Like 3-7 in the AFC doesn't feel like you're completely out if they can start mounting up some wins there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. AFC, yeah.
They're like a game behind the Bengals right now.
We're not going to talk about that.
I don't know. Give me the New England Patriots +4.5. I feel like this team is getting a bit better week by week.
I think I'm going to take the Rams here. Once again, Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, kind of hard to bet against. I know it didn't work out too well for me and my Rams last week, but. I mean, it's not even a touchdown game. I know the Patriots defense has historically, and even this year, looks pretty solid. But just don't think they have enough to stop all those weapons. And Kyron Williams playing. So, give me the Rams.
Oh, it's God. Definitely one of the worst ones for me to pick.
So, oh, God. This next one is basically a pick 'em. The Cleveland Browns at the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are at home and favored by 1.5 points. The real question is, which Jameis Winston are you getting this week? And because of that and the fact that I like to roll the dice, give me the Browns just on the off chance that good Jameis is here. And yeah, it's probably not even going to be close one way or the other. I just don't know which way that it is.
Hey, another game that I really don't like to call. I'm just going to go based off the revenge narrative here because this is a revenge game to Jameis Winston, former Saints the past few years, going in there with Cleveland off a bye. I just feel like New Orleans is coming off of an eye emotional game, a divisional game in which they beat the Atlanta Falcons. But like those games are usually like very draining emotional wise. Plus, they're still without Olave. They're still without Shaheed. Like MVS was their best wide receiver. Like I didn't even know MVS was still in the league. I think they signed them like fairly recently. But it's like that offense is Kamara. Like Carr still looks rough. every time I see him, he still looks rough. I'd rather take the gunslinger who might pass for like 3 touchdowns. Sure, he can also toss for like 3 picks.
Yeah.
But I feel like
I said, this game is this line is not going to be close to hitting for one side.
Yeah, like this is a line in which you take one of the sides by 7, and that's like you get great odds that way, because now you just have to figure out who is going to win this game. But if I was doing that, I would just take Cleveland, like yep. -6.5, for example, get a good number there. You're probably getting like, I don't know, +200 on that. I'll need to check, but it's probably around that. So I'm just gonna go Cleveland as well here. They're just off a bye, and they're equally as bad, I would say. But maybe the Cleveland Browns, like a week rested, Chubb closer to 100%. The defense is a bit better, and I just trust the QB a bit more, even though he's like the Mr. 30-30, right?
Yeah, I mean, I get that.
Speaking of Mr. 30-30s, I guess this next matchup, we can say that it's a matchup between Mr. 40-40, because it's 40-year-old Joe Flacco going at the New York Jets, led by 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers. They both look old as shit on the field as well. Both look very rough right now.
Did they play each other in a Super Bowl?
No, I think they played. I think it only actually played once before, when Flacco, like in 2011 or 10. But it wasn't in a Super Bowl. It was in just a regular season game. Yeah, that was it. And the Packers beat who in that Super Bowl? At Rodgers won. Trying to remember, and it's drawing a blank. I don't think it was the Patriots. Yeah. I don't think it was the Steelers. I feel like the Steelers were around that line. But it was like before that a bit, the one they beat the Cardinals. I mean, we're guessing here, but this takes like 5 seconds to research. So they beat so they 2010 they beat the Steelers. Yeah. They beat the Steelers. 31-25. But yeah, I think they played like once or twice before. Rodgers and Flacco, like 2011, 2012 maybe. It was along those lines. But this is just like, I don't know why Steichen is still like saying that Flacco is going to be the starter. Like, he's losing the fans, he's losing the teams. I don't know what he's doing right now, because Flacco very much clearly isn't it. Because if you wanted like a guy that would pass for like, I don't know, Flacco has been passing for 180 yards around that. And it's like, if you want that, then you at least can justify to the fans that you're developing a guy, you just go with Anthony Richardson. But like, starting Flacco just seems so pointless when you're 4-6 and he's not doing anything. Like, he's throwing 3 interceptions. The game before that, he threw another interception. This is just a rough team right now. I'm just going to go ahead. But the Jets, I mean, the Jets just embarrassed by the Cardinals. They just boat raced him out of the building. Like, this just proves that firing Salah was very much not a good decision, because like, again, the defense has been wrecked.
Ugliest game of the week, and that's
it probably is. Yeah, it's like the defense has been wrecked since you fired Salah. The offense still looks like shit because you still have the same people in place running the offense. So this was very much not a Salah issue, and I hope everyone understands that now, because I was beating the drum about that, and I think you were as well, when they fired them. So I don't know, man, just feels like a rough team. Think I'm probably taking the Jets though, because they're at home. The Colts don't inspire me any confidence as well. I feel like if there's a game that the Jets might win, it's probably this one. This is just a rough game all around, man.
Yeah, I'm just going to be on the opposite side of you. You said you went the Colts?
Yeah. No, I went with the Jets.
Oh, okay. Then I'll go with the Colts. I don't have any logic behind me. I think it's going to be a terrible game regardless. So
I feel like really if there's...
I wouldn't feel good being on either side. That's the thing.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I just feel like the QB that commits the most turnovers is probably losing that game. And I just think that that's probably Flacco.
It might be. Yeah, it might be. All right, I am up next. So we have the Baltimore Ravens favored against the Tennessee, or not the Tennessee, the Pittsburgh Steelers by 3.5 points. The Steelers are at home. I do think there's a, I don't know. I think there's a chance the Ravens, just dominate them this whole game. Maybe I'm not giving the Steelers defense enough respect, but give me the Ravens. Fuck it.
Hey, if this is one of my favorite picks on the week, probably. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers +3.5. Yeah. But this is a divisional game. It's going to be close. I mean, the games versus, we just saw last week. The Ravens versus the Cincinnati Bengals. I know this is a rough stretch. It's about to be a rough stretch for Pittsburgh. But this isn't the cakewalk for the Ravens either. I mean, they just faced an highly emotional game versus the Cincinnati Bengals. That game went did it went to OT, or was it just like...
It did go to OT, yeah. Oh, no, it didn't go to OT. We went for two to win the game.
Yeah, that's it. But it's still like a game in which they had to drive fairly hard. The Steelers are just a resilient bunch right now. They were down in that game versus Washington. They managed to pull that win off. Emotions are high right now on both sides, but I just feel like Russell Wilson is working some magic here. And at the end of the day, I really like the 3.5 for the Steelers, because this is one thing that I've been saying constantly about the Ravens. The defense is a major issue. Now they've lost Kyle Hamilton. They are still leading the league by a good bunch in terms of explosive plays. And if there's one thing that Russell Wilson is doing great, it's hitting the explosive play on George Pickens. And I mean, we saw the Ravens versus the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, how many plays did Jamar Chase break open? Just broke completely free. How many of those explosive plays? Because I count at least three or four. Just like from my mind alone, I could look back and it's probably even more, but it's like this defense in the secondary is having real issues. Russell Wilson is getting the ball off quickly. The defense for the Steelers is good. It's probably, I wouldn't say it's the best unit, but it's by far the best defense on the field, in my opinion. Even though they might not have Highsmith this week, I still think if Herbig can go, their second-year linebacker, Edge, I guess. If he can go, I think that he can step up the plate, because he did step up last year when necessary to fill in for either TJ or Highsmith. I feel like that's going to be an above... better than average replacement, I would say. So I like the Steelers quite a bit. I feel like this is a team that right now... they're being slept on. I feel like they're a bit underrated. Coaching-wise, I still think like they're probably better coached than the Ravens. Now, it just depends. Like, will they be able to contain Derrick Henry? Or will Derrick Henry just like break one free when the game is late and it's closed? Like, we've seen this story before with the Ravens, but I really like the Steelers. I feel like the Steelers, the one big difference here is the explosive plays. They're going to hit those, because they do have the players. Like, they have Van Jefferson, who's fairly quick. They have Calvin Austin, who has been very quick as well. George Pickens has been making some insane plays as well recently. So I like the Steelers. I feel like they're a bit underrated right now. Give me the +3.5. Next up, it's the Minnesota Vikings at the Tennessee Titans. Jesus Christ, the Vikings are 6.5-point favorites. It feels like Darnold is finally turning into the pumpkin. Long are the days when he used to be like an MVP contender. That's sort of out of the window right now. He's back to Darnold. Yeah. I mean, it happens. Like, thank God that J.J. McCarthy ready to step up next year, because Darnold is starting to make the mistakes that we've known Darnold to make. All of that said, though, like, we can't forget they are going versus the Tennessee Titans. So they immediately have 14 points from the get-go, because that's just what Will Levis used to give you. Fair, like, if I'm not mistaken, like, last game he actually played decently well. They still lost by 10, so, like, at the end of the day. But he didn't have a turnover. So we'll give him that. All of that said, I feel like this is a game in which the Vikings can dominate. I feel like the pressure will get to Tennessee quite a bit. Will Levis will make the stupid boneheaded plays if they're down by, like, I don't know, 2 scores. Early in the game, you will start to try too much, and eventually it will just, like, not work out for him. And this is a game, like, the Vikings win by, like, 14. So give me the Vikings -6.5.
I have to agree with you. I can't keep letting the good old Titans hurt me.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough. And then the next game, the Atlanta Falcons at the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos are favored by 1.5 points. Oh, this is simple enough. Give me the Falcons.
I think I'm going to go against you. I don't know, this Falcons team is just rough for me to watch them. Because, like, you had the hype going versus New Orleans. We were both sitting here like, this is a weird line. There's no way, like, this is actually, like, a game in which the Falcons can lose. It's like, we were both sitting here and we said, this is the game that we really can see them losing, but this is going to be the trap game. And we most definitely got that, because that was the biggest trap game. They lose that game versus the Saints. I don't know how they lost. And, like, they are actually facing a good team. Like, this is the Denver Broncos team that they're 5-5, should have been 6-4, because they should have been the ones to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, how you miss a late field goal to put you up, like, with it's a chip shot. It's like 30-something yard field goal, and you get that one blocked out of all things. It's not even a miss. It's a block, which is just like, I mean, that shit happens, but it's highly unlikely. So this Denver Broncos team, I actually think it's quite good. I feel like Sean Payton is finally getting his idea across to the rookie QB. The offense is finally playing like Sean Payton wants him to play. Audrey Castame is now running the football. He led this backfield. He had 14 carries this week. And, like, I feel like everything is clicking with the Broncos. So, like, -1.5. I like their defense quite a bit. I feel like their offense is a bit underrated. So give me the Denver Broncos -1.5. Okay, next up for me, the Seattle Seahawks. They go to the San Francisco 49ers. And I don't know, man. The Niners are 6.5-point favorites. I haven't seen anything from the Niners to give me this confidence that they're 6.5-point better than a whole lot of teams. You keep calling for the sacrifices to begin. I don't think there's sacrifices with the San Francisco 49. I really don't rate this team. Maybe this blows up in my face and we get completely blown out here. But off a bye, I feel like we're making some changes on the defense as well. Which, for example, we cut Tyler Dodson, which has been a starting linebacker for us. Very terrible one, by the way. Like, not really sure how we approach the market for linebackers this past offseason. But we're finally giving the rookie, Tyrese Knight, a chance. I feel like CMC is still getting back up to pace. Give me the Seattle Seahawks, man. Plus 6.5. This is a big number for the current Niners. Like, last year's Niners, sure, I get it. But this Niners team feels like they're living off their name a bit more than what they're actually playing.
Give me the 49ers. Fuck them Seahawks.
I knew it. I knew it was coming.
The Kansas City Chiefs versus the Buffalo Bills. I have no fucking idea how this game is going. So the Buffalo Bills are favored by 1.5 points. Basically a pick 'em. I do think Buffalo will get this one. So I'm going with Buffalo. Because if not, I might as well just pick Kansas City for the rest of the year. They're going to go like 17-0.
I feel like this Kansas City Chiefs team is always on the edge. I was going to
say Patrick Mahomes isn't playing good, but at the same time, Josh Allen is going to turn the ball over a few times too. So I don't know.
He's been making more turnovers recently. That's for sure. But I feel like this Kansas City Chiefs team, it's one of those teams in which, like, when things need to go right, they will. It's either a blocked field goal, it's either a late drive that you need to get a touchdown, it's either like a drive in which you need your defense to get a stop, a crucial drive late, and those things will happen. This, I know we've been saying for a few years that the Bills, for example, from time to time, are the team of destiny. They're the team of this, team of that. This Chiefs team actually looks like the team of destiny. I don't care what happens. I don't care what sort of game they play. At the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes is going to make the play. The defense of Spagnuolo is going to make the play. And they will win the game. Like, I just feel if there was ever a team that could challenge the Miami Dolphins, the undefeated Miami Dolphins, after what Brady did with the Patriots, in which he just lost to the Super Bowl, I feel like this would be like the crowning achievement of Patrick Mahomes, in which the argument could start to be made about the GOAT conversation, because if he goes on undefeated season, wins the Super Bowl, that's now 4 to Brady, what, 6 or 7? But he has the undefeated season on top of Brady. And I feel like this could be something that happens. Also, I wouldn't be shocked if this, like, if, for example, they beat the Bills. And it's nothing, like, great, the great win. It's like a 1-point win or something stupid like that. But then they go on and they, I don't know, on week, what? I'm looking ahead on their schedule. And they would, like, drop a game versus, I don't know, the Cleveland Browns on week 15. This feels like a team that could drop one of those games in which they get a bit too, not going to say lazy, but don't put their foot on the gas when they need to and wait a bit longer. And then shit hits the fan and they're like, they just drop that game out of nowhere. I feel like that's easier to happen than losing this type of game. Although, like, in the regular season, Allen tends to play much better versus the Chiefs, but I feel like this is a game in which Mahomes also steps up his game to face this sort of competition, much like he did, for example, versus Burrow as well when they faced the Cincinnati Bengals. So, I mean, until something goes wrong with the Chiefs, I'm just going to pick the Chiefs, man. Just give me at least to win games when the lines are like this. Like, you actually need to lose the game to lose a +1.5. So, yeah, give me the Chiefs +1.5, man. It's just, like, I just feel like this team has all the breaks that they need. And it's just, it is what it is. I don't think that they're great. I don't think like they've been playing like the best team. But I feel like when the situation matters, if I need to back a team, it's the Chiefs. So now this is an actually an interesting game. Cincinnati Bengals go at Los Angeles Chargers, primetime game, Sunday night football. The Chargers are 1.5 point favorites.
Totally.
I don't know. I feel like this is a game that either team really can win. Because I do have a soft spot for you guys, because I do not want to root against you, I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals plus 1.5. Purely because if you drop to 4-7, it gets tricky to make the playoffs. I think 5-6, you still need to cover some ground, but you're going in the right direction. But I wouldn't really be shocked if this is a game the Chargers beat you quite handily, because that defense, you could make an argument looking at the advanced analytics that they are maybe the best defense in the league. But I just don't know if they can put up 30, and they might need to put up 30 to win you guys. So,
kind of the same logic. Like, I don't think the team is capable of scoring 30 like the other teams that we've lost to. I think the offense is clicking very well. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bengals. Gonna go with my heart here. I'm gonna let the Bengals hurt me.
Also, I'll rant on this a bit on the next episode, but I need people to stop telling me that Quentin Johnson has arrived, because
Quentin Johnson. Wheels, but it feels like he's got some wheels. You know, I don't know, man. Maybe it's like
Dennis
Walker with the hands thing. Maybe, you know, someone donated him some wheels. You know.
Yeah, I'll just say that it's very easy to score touchdowns and to run in touchdowns and be like, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he has been one of the most effective running backs, wide receivers in the league. And I'll just say it's fairly easy to do that when you lead the league in busted coverage touchdowns. So when the coverage is busted, you can call Quentin Johnson. But that's about it, though. So it's hard to also like have busted coverage on your side when the defense has to worry about an actual alpha wide receiver across from you in Ladd McConkey. So
actual alpha wide receiver in Ladd McConkey.
Hey, just calling it out. I see it.
That's just unbelievable. So the last game of the day, the Houston. God. Why?
Well, I know I'm not going to be watching this game. At least
this is most Monday of night it. Football.
I don't care, man.
The Houston Texans at the Dallas Cowboys. The Houston Texans are favored by 7.5 points. Oh no.
Hey, at least it won't be sunny out there, right? So the wide receivers won't drop the football because, like, the dumb fucking ass owner built a stadium with curtains that he doesn't want to close the curtains, and so he blindsides his wide receivers. So at least it's late at night, this game. So all of a sudden, the wide receivers might have a shot at catching passes. Fucking dumbass.
I'm going to go with Houston. Just
give me fucking Houston, man. I don't know. I hate Houston. I mean, the game versus the Detroit Lions just proved everything that I've been saying about this team. Like, they cannot close. Like, the offense is weak. I feel like Bobby Slowick is actually like a very bad offensive coordinator. Who figured that run hope for Stroud to do something wasn't actually a good offensive strategy? Who would have guessed? Apparently, Bobby Slowick thought so, and he's getting exposed for that. So thank God. Running the football 30 times at Mixon for 50 yards doesn't seem like to be the best case scenario. Does it, Slowick? figured as much. But this is still, like, I don't know, man. Like, maybe the right side is Dallas. Maybe I'm over-exaggerating here a bit. But after what I saw...
The right side doesn't look like Dallas after Monday night.
Sure, but this is very much the National Fake You Out League, right? This is the week in which, like, the Cowboys looked rough versus the Eagles, and then they come out versus the Texans. They actually play some actual football, score some points on this game. Like, the Texans win it by, like, 6, and you don't cover the line. I just can't be asked, man. Way too much mental gymnastic here to give the Bills, to give the Cowboys any chance. So. Cowboys. Yeah, just... Give me the Texans, +6, -7.5. So give me your minerals. I know gold is Philly, so that's set. Give me the rest, though.
The 49ers beating the Seahawks is silver. Fuck you. And
thank you very much.
And the Jaguars covering against the Lions is bronze.
The Jaguars... +13.5. For me, I'm going to go with, if my bronze is going to be Miami, -7.5. The silver pick is going to be... It's going to be Minnesota, -6.5. And then the gold pick, it's Pittsburgh, +3.5. Simple enough.
Simple enough for Al.
And that's it. That's the picks for week 11 right now. Those are in the books. Lines are also closed on our end. So, and if you go right now, I was looking at current lines. They're mostly in hand with what we have. Like Buffalo moved the point. Denver moved the point. That's roughly it. Like, outside of that, there's not a whole lot of movement yet. So get in there while those are good. If you like, for example, the Buffalo side, in that game that me and Angela discussed, I would advise to jump in because I could see that line closing at like 3.5. If you like the Chiefs, if you like my rationale in the game, just wait until closer to the game because you probably can get some 3, 3.5s closer to the game with the movement that I'm seeing right now and how the like general feeling is about that game, that the Bills are, like, for all intents and purposes, the Bills look like the better team. Advanced stats, advanced analytics, defense, offense, like everything looks probably better for the Bills. Now, they should have Amari Cooper back. I don't think they will have Keon Coleman back. So, some issues there on that part of the offense. But, I mean, the Chiefs, like, they have been running a weapons-by-committee type of wide receiver core. Like, Xavier Murphy now is non-existent anymore, apparently, since DeAndre Hopkins came in. And Travis Kelce is just going back to being Travis Kelce. So, we're back to, like, 2017 Chiefs. It's just like it's Kelce and it's no one else. Or not 17. 17, Hill was there, but like last year or the year prior. So yeah, that's it. Do you want to have anything else on the show? Do you want to call it quits? I know this is a show that...
Like I said, I want to save the rants for the next episode. So I think with respect to content, I think we should call it there.
Yeah. Plus, I also feel like next show is probably going to be a bit more energy because you're off. I'm going to be just immediately off work as well, not like 5 hours removed from it. So I feel like the energy levels are probably going to be a bit better as well. And for the rants, that's good. So stay tuned for that one. That one comes out on Saturday. This one will come out on Thursday. So before the games, around what, 13 hours, 14 hours prior to the games coming out. So you'll have time to look at the bets, see what lines have moved and have not moved, and make your picks based on what we've been doing here. So yeah, if you have nothing else to add, I'll just wrap it up here. So anything else?
I have nothing else to add.
All right. Well, as I used to say, guys, thank you very much. If you listen this long, thank you again. If you're listening on the Apple Podcast app, if you're listening on the Spotify app, wherever really you're listening to your podcast, just make sure to subscribe, turn on the auto downloads, leave us a comment as well, review, that is, 5-star review, nothing else. And if you're listening on the YouTube, you know what you do, like, everything that you've been doing for the past decade, that every single content creator has ever asked you to do so. Really appreciate you if you could, especially like the auto downloads. That really helps out the show, helps out the analytics. So really appreciate it. And yeah, have a great week. Hope you enjoy Thursday night football, which is actually going to be a very good game, much better than the Monday night football game. So yeah, enjoy that. Get ready for a great week. Get ready for the playoffs as well. Like, in your fantasy football leagues, it's probably getting a bit close to your trade deadline and whatnot. So yeah, get those straight set. We'll talk a bit about fantasy in the next show as well to help you guys out. And yeah, talk to you guys not next week, but talk to you guys on Saturday. Bye.